Okay. Obviously, I have not fully finished with working on this lesson, and I know we're not going to get through with it. It's one of those that you start to work on it, and you realize there's so much that you can say about it. But I did want to have something prepared for this morning. As I was doing my just readings and daily readings, I started to think about, you know, some of the examples that were in here about who did some people pray for? Who did some people pray to? Why? You know, the whole questions of who, what, when, where, and how to pray. And so this is where it come to. Yes, there may be some things that are wrong in here, and please point them out to me, but I think that there'll be some tweaking done, hopefully, and maybe I'll be able to present it another time in a different way. But let's start with going to 1 Kings 12, and I'm going to I don't want to read the whole portion there because it's quite a bit, but there's some verses that I want to point out to, and then we can discuss it. Let's, Susan, would you read verse 6, 8, 10, and then 13 through 14? I know that's a lot, but 6, 8, 10, 13 through 14.
Served him. And the young man who grew up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you shall say to this people who spoke to you, say, your father made your yoke heavy, now you make it lighter for us. But you shall speak to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins." And the king answered the people harshly, for he forsook the advice of the elders which they had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplines you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions."
Okay, so King Rehoboam, who did he go to for counsel? Obviously, he went through to his peers. He did go to the elders, which were two his peers, but the elders gave him one way. Then he went to his younger peers, his, that he grew up with, and who also served him, too. And they gave him a different way of how he should handle it. But who did he listen to?
The young men.
What was that outcome? It was a bad outcome, obviously. But did it say that he even prayed for his kingship at that moment? Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. It doesn't say. But maybe that's where he probably should have gone first, is to God to help him with that, how to handle those that situation, the kingship that he has just taken on. Isaiah, I wanted to look real quick. I found it after I'd done. Go to Isaiah 9:16, real quickly. But keep your finger in Kings, because obviously we're going to go back to 18. You may need a lesson. I'm just going to... Lauren, would you read that? Lauren, yes.
Isaiah 9:16.
Yeah, I do have that. Maybe I meant... I might have gone to the wrong... I might have written down the wrong thing. But I can't remember exactly
pointed. I'm sorry, I messed that up.
Oh, you
want to
ask the next verse? The Lord will have no joy there on you?
No, I don't. It was saying, I was looking for a wonderful counselor. And I saw it, and you know how you can do a lesson and you have kids around and you get distracted? So that happened a lot while I was doing this. Maybe that's what I meant. Yes, 9:6. And I have 16. 9:6. It says, I'll read it. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Now, I don't want to take that out of context of what this was purposely about, but just seeing Wonderful Counselor. He's the one we go to. He's the one that we should go to, and that's what he's called. Let's go back to 1 Kings 18. I'm sorry for throwing us off for a second. Once again, I don't want to read on all of those. That's a pretty long one, but it does say focus on those verses 24, 26 through 29, 36 through 39. Sally, would you be able to read that for us?
Just those verses that you
said? Yes, yes.
Okay. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God, and all the people said that is a good idea. Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they made. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God.
So who did Elijah go to for prayer? God, absolutely. He called upon the name of the Lord. And then it says in that one of the, I think it's 24, he called upon the name of the Lord and the God who answers by fire. He is God. But who do the prophets call upon?
Baal,
a different God for them. And how did they, they called upon them how long? How long did it say in verse, I think it's 20?
Morning
till noon. I mean, they did it a long time, and still nothing. When reading 27. When it came about at noon, and Elijah mocked them and said, "Call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied, or gone aside, or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened." I mean, that's. I found that very comical as well. I mean, he mocked them. Our God doesn't.
Huh? Well, I was going to say, it also says in the next couple of verses, they continue cutting themselves and asking for veils.
Right. Looking very foolish, very silly to do. I mean, but our God doesn't. I mean, he may be slow in his answer, but there's a reason maybe for that answer of that prayer that we have been praying for. But what was the outcome? We read that. That God consumed it. He consumed it all. It wasn't just the burnt offering. It was all of it there. He consumed it. It showed him pretty quickly and pretty drastically whenever they fell on their faces. He said, He is God, the Lord. He is God. So that's who we go to. That's who we go to in prayer. But okay, we noticed with the first Kings that he went to his peers. Do we seek counsel from God as we should, though? Hopefully we do. Hopefully we do, but do we do it enough? Obviously, there's probably never enough to go to him for that counsel, whatever it may be. But do we also seek from our peers as well? Do we seek from our families, our teachers, our friends, our neighbors? Sure. I know I do. Now, whether it's always the right person that I go to, obviously it's sometimes probably not, but sometimes it is. I mean, it says right, you know, through here is I had Proverbs 12:26. Let's look at that real quick. Hopefully I wrote the right verse on this one. I'll read it. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So absolutely, the righteous have, most of the time, your best interests have good counsel. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong sometimes, but I believe that you can go to your peers in righteous guidance, for guidance there, Christian guidance. What are y'all's thoughts on that, or is any comments on that portion of going to your peers versus God, or both?
Depends on how the person they are. And you could go to an elder's wife or a preacher's wife and hopefully get good guidance. But the ultimate guidance should be from God.
Yeah. And as you say that, is that, yes, you can go to them, but do you just say, okay, well, I'm going to take theirs. I'm not going to. You still need to pray to God. You still need to go to his guidance there, too. Maybe that's who he's led you to go for that information or whatever it may be, that situation that you may be asking help with or knowledge about. But you still...
Unfortunately, sometimes people go from person to person looking for the answer they want.
Right.
Knowing that it's not what God's Word says, or not, maybe it's not the right answer, but they keep thinking if somebody that's respectable or, you know, or well...
All the time. That happens all the time. People seek for what they want to hear. And that's nothing new from back then to now. And I know that there's more examples of this, of who to go to throughout here. I mean, this is, like I said, a lesson that may never end. But let's go on ahead and go to the what, because that's limitless, and so we might need to put a limit on it at this point for the lesson. But let's go to 1 Samuel 1:27. Sandra, would you be able to read that?
For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him.
She prayed for a child. She prayed for him. We can pray for a family. We can pray for a child one day. You know, we want, typically most people, not all, you know, have that desire, that want. But it's an example is she prayed for that. She prayed for that child to want it. Do you always get it? Maybe not. Let's go on to Psalms 122. I think also with the back on the children part is we can pray to have them, that it's, you know, we may have them, but once you have them, do you just I mean, you continue to pray for them. You continue to pray for their growing up and their the way that they turn out, the things for them.
You never stop praying.
I hope not. I hope that we don't. That we can always use some more prayers on our children. But Psalms 122:6. Carol, can you read that one?
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper through love you.
Okay, that one might be a little tricky. Do you know what I was asking for on that one?
For your nation?
For your, yes, exactly. For your country, for your land, for your nation, for the world. I mean, I know that it's specifically they're listed as Jerusalem, but yes, I think we can. We can certainly pray for our land. Matthew 5:44. Susan Dunbar, can you read that? So who is this we're praying for? Your enemies. I found that one the most difficult. I'm sure that might not be the only person who thinks that. But yeah, to pray for your enemies, your persecution. Okay, Mark 11:24-25.
But I mean, not necessarily personal enemies, but enemies of Christianity.
Oh, absolutely.
They're really multiple.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Mark 11. Susan, would you, the other Susan, would you read that one? What is that one about? Or what can you take from that? Example. Right. Yes. What else in there?
I put that we can ask him to help us forgive people who have sinned against us.
Yeah.
Because this isn't the only place that mentions that he won't forgive us if we don't forgive others. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, I don't think this is necessarily talking about us praying for forgiveness.
Yeah.
But if we ask for help for forgiving others, then we won't have our forgiveness in there.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going, and maybe I misread all the context of it. But absolutely, it's for forgiveness, from to be able to forgive others, to be able to have that frame of mind, that heart, to be able to do that. Because I find that very difficult at times myself. Let's look at Luke 22:32. Amy, are you able to? So that one's, I see it as your faith. He's praying for your faith, to stay strong in your faith. Does anybody read it differently or more to it too? But also for you, for that, you will, like it says, you'll strengthen your brothers. You'll strengthen others with that by your faith. Obviously, we know that is true. And then James 5:16 next. Elvira, are you able to read it? What does it say in there about prayer? Let me read there.
Pray for one another and pray for the sick.
Yeah, pray for one another. Pray for one another. Yeah. But I like the last sentence was, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Whenever you think of that, can accomplish much from a righteous man, an effective prayer. I mean, when I think of that, when I hear it, see that, I think of a sincere prayer. And maybe I'm wrong in thinking that too, but, you know, we can pray, and that might be more of a lesson later too, but I think that also when you pray for one another, isn't sincere in that how you do that prayer for those people, or whatever the prayer could be, but an effective prayer. Let's go on to Genesis 13:11-12. Tammy, can you? Okay.
So Lot chose for himself all the valley of Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, where Lot settled in the cities of the valley, and moved his tent as far as Sodom.
Okay, so this one might not have described. I gave that example, and I forgot to probably ask some questions in that one. But did it say in there at all that Lot prayed for his decision and his choice? It doesn't. Maybe he did. It's kind of the same example at the beginning, is maybe he prayed about it and we just don't know. It's not said in there. Maybe he didn't. But how big of a decision was that he had to make a choice?
Major.
Very major. And obviously the ramifications of that choice, there was consequences, good, bad, and indifferent there. But the outcome of it, how did that turn out from that choice?
Serious.
Very serious. Very serious. And so do we go to God for those prayers of making our choices? We have, sometimes the choices we have on a daily basis may not be as big, of course, as this, but sometimes they are just this big. But those small choices sometimes can affect your big choices.
About
wealth,
exactly. And he ended up losing all of what he chose.
It looked good. It looked pretty. And so sometimes we can be swayed. I know that I am at times. I'm swayed by what it looks like it could be. And maybe I didn't go to God for a better decision and choice in that. It may look like the best choice. It's a good example to remember about those decisions, for sure. I mean, I'm sure that y'all can think of times that you're like, man, maybe I should have thought about that decision a little bit differently, or thought, you know, gone to God for a little more guidance in that decision. Like I said, I know I'm guilty of that for sure. And I think it might have been Pat was talking about recently in one of her classes or lessons about discussing with your spouse or with whoever it may be that what you think is right and versus what the other one thinks is right. You know, I can pray about that decision and then Neil may make a totally different decision. And I know that's happened for me too. And I've had to go back and tell him, you know what? Your decision was much better than what I was thinking. Absolutely, I've done that. So hopefully I don't know. Maybe I should ask him. Maybe he went to prayer for that. I don't know. But anyways, obviously there's limitless examples of what you can pray for. What are some other examples that y'all, that it might not be listed here in maybe some scripture if you were able to find it?
Or wisdom.
Wisdom.
Spread the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 3:1.
That was under my example too. Yes. Yeah. To spread the word. Spread the gospel.
What was that scripture?
2 Thessalonians 3:1. I also had in 2 Thessalonians 3:3 for the protection. Their protection. You know? Kind of like when we pray for our country that we keep safe and whatnot. But I feel like that's the protection, I probably need to look at it specifically, but the protection of where you're at is sometimes not always threatened as it was there. Obviously not where we are. We're in a pretty safe overall country, and our protection, we sleep the night safely. I mean, I don't typically go to bed worrying about my safety, but I need to still pray for it, that we still stay in a safe country. I don't have to worry about bombing. Very much. Yeah. You can pray for that, that you're thankful for that protection, but also continue to protect him. Anything else? Any more examples that you might have come up with?
I'll always pray for his brethren, the churches that he had established. That's in very many of his letters, but in Philippians 1. So I thank my God on every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy.
Mm-hmm. You pray for your other brethren that are far away, maybe in the same country, maybe in the same city, but also those that we support in those not very safe areas as well.
This is maybe a little bit off the wall, but I think down Judges 6, where Gideon prayed to God about, you know, we put the golden fleece out, and then wanted it wet, and then wanted it dry. And I worded it like, when we have doubts, and I'm not advocating that we test God and say, you
give
know,
me a sign,
something out, if it rains on it, you know, this is what's going to happen. But I think what I take from that is when we have worries or doubts about something, that we can pray to God and ask for, comfort or, confirmation or something, yeah, that we, you know, that things are going to turn
contentment
out.
Contentment
or something, but in a certain situation.
Right.
You know, maybe doubts about maybe our faith or different concerns, you know, maybe about our kids or what they're doing or decisions we've made or
that you can actually see the consequence of that decision,
right,
good or bad, that it turns out the way that you made it.
Because, you know, you never know what with the providence of God, you never know. I think he can change things.
Absolutely.
He can make things go either way. And
I agree.
I think that's one of the great blessings of prayer, is that God hears us, and I think, you know, he can do what he wants as far as answering prayers.
Absolutely. Well, and I had Matthew 21:22, for believing your prayers will be answered. Like we said before, is that they'll be answered, but maybe they will be answered maybe differently than what you expected. But maybe they may turn out for the better, that those prayers will be answered, that you will have understanding, the contentment that...
Or relieve of your worry or something.
Yeah, I don't know how to word it either, exactly what you're saying, but I understand what you're saying. And I also had in 2 Samuel 2:1, David prayed about going to the cities. I can't remember. I just have that, David going to the cities. I probably need to read it in depth. But for travel, we can pray for our travels, that they're safe, you know, that there's not any issues or concerns, that it's a smooth travel. You can enjoy it. There's no problems.
A really simple one is thanks for food. Matthew 15:36.
Yeah.
Jesus gave thanks for food.
Exactly. Hopefully we do that every time. But absolutely, you know, there's people that don't have that luxury. And we do. Like I said, this is limitless, absolutely limitless of what you can pray for. Courage, your health, your marriage. I mean, some of those may or may not have scriptures, but I didn't have the scriptures listed. I just kind of jotted down whenever I thought of things. Guidance, courage, like I said. So hopefully these are things that we do put in our prayers. And we're sincere with those, of what we're asking about. Okay, let's go. We have about 10 minutes. So we'll go ahead and maybe get through when, or at least part of it. Let's go to Nehemiah 1:5-6. Lauren, would you be able to read that? I'm trying to get there still.
And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned.
So when was he praying? When were they praying? Listed, or did you gather that? Day and night. Whenever I started doing this lesson, I was like, man, is it time of day or is it situational? It can be both, absolutely. And that's where I think maybe some of those come in, these examples. But they pray day and night. So that kind of covers a lot of the time that's allowed, I guess. Go ahead and go over to Nehemiah 2:4-5. Sally, would you be able to read that?
Sure. And then the king said to me, what would you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb that I may rebuild.
Okay, some of the questions that I listed here, who was around him whenever he went to prayer? Standing before the king. I mean, who else could have been around him? I mean, there could have been a whole room full of guards and servants and... I mean, obviously it does not say, but you can imagine of who could have been around. And even if there wasn't anyone around and it was just him and the king. Exactly, and that's what I'm kind of going towards is...
That's how I've always pictured it.
Like he's standing there and he's talking to God. And did he bow his head? Did he close his eyes? There's no indication, you know, absolutely not. I may be wrong, but I don't think that he did. If I had to guess, I would have to say, I don't think he did, but I don't want to be wrong, and that he did. But I know that are there times that you find yourselves doing the same thing? You're praying, but you're maybe not closing your eyes or bowing your head or, you know, what we consider is in reverence to God. I don't do that when I'm driving. I hope no one else does. But yeah, I do that often. And maybe whenever I'm just driving to take the kids to school and or running errands or whatever, it just, you know, there's, I realize, oh, there's something I really need to pray about right now. And I just remembered it, you know. I don't bow my head or close my eyes while I'm doing that, but I'm doing it. It's just something that I thought of as an example of time of day and the situation. But
I love this because it does make me think of situations like, say your teenager comes to you with some question, and it's a real, you know, killer, and you think in your mind, oh my goodness, dear Lord, help me answer this right, or help me handle this correctly, or say, answer this in a way that will impact their heart, yeah. Where, you know, they'll take it in the right way and learn from it and apply it and want to go research it, you know, that kind of thing. I can see this happening all the time.
All the time. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I think I probably pray more with my eyes open and not praying in a situation than I probably do with my eyes closed and my head bowed. I'm thinking through the day of what I'm doing. I may be vacuuming. You know, it may be as simple as that. It could be your child comes to you or a friend comes to you and you really need to have an answer for them. And that's where I pray for the guidance that I say the right words and that the right words come out of my mouth that will impact them in the best way. Just for an example, is I was subbing at the middle school, and there's some difficult teenagers, obviously, y'all know, a lot of y'all know about that, and there was a few moments that I was just like, God, please just keep my mouth shut, that I don't say something. You know, that hold my temper back. Exactly, because it was absolutely disrespectful of what I was getting. And so I was praying real hard at that moment, but and I hope that's not something I have to deal with my kids with, but it's in situations there are some that are like that. And this was it was before the king. I'm sitting here trying to picture myself in that situation, and he had to come to the right words to say to him, and so he obviously prayed to God at that moment. Okay, let's go on ahead and go to Jonah 1:14. Amy, can you read that when you get to it?
And they called on the Lord and said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put any of our blood on it, for you, O Lord, have done as you please.
When were they praying?
During the storm.
I mean, in the thrive of it.
When they were throwing Jonah.
Exactly. I mean, like, please save him, but we're going to chunk him pretty much. They're in the heart of an absolute terrifying moment. Like, it's a fearful time. It's a threatening, your life-threatening moment. Hopefully those are not something that we are exposed to, but they went to the Lord. They went to him, like, in that moment.
Well, the next verse says they threw him in the ocean and the sea stopped raging.
Right, so there's your answer. Right.
They learned from it too, the next verse.
Right.
Here the Lord is anywhere.
Yes. I mean, maybe I should have written all those verses down. I'm sorry I didn't, but yes, that was... No, but it can be. But I mean, it kind of goes back to what you're saying. What we're saying is like, but why do we pray though? You know, obviously if we didn't have answers, then we wouldn't be praying. Obviously, there are some things that are going to be answered, and so yeah, the answers are there. That's why you do it, and you can trust in it. Yeah. Let's do this last one, and then we'll close it out. Luke 6:12. Sandra, would you be able to read that? Can you get to it?
Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God.
Okay. When was he praying?
All night.
All night, whole night, at night. He was also alone.
He was preparing to choose the 12 apostles.
Yes. Good point.
He was wanting guidance.
Yes. Making sure that he made the right decision. I didn't pick up on that at that time. Thank you. So it's just this is a time of day that I had there, but also situational. As Sally pointed out, he was trying to pick the 12 apostles. He's alone. Do we pick those times to be alone to really think in our prayers, to give our minds truly, fully into that prayer, to concentrate and to be mindful of what we're praying for? I don't know. Sometimes I find myself that I don't, but I hope that we do find those moments that we can pick and it be just you. Maybe at night, maybe in the morning, maybe any time. But that's just where Jesus was whenever he was praying. He needed that. I'll go ahead and finish. I mean, we got, if you don't mind, what were some other examples that maybe y'all come up with about when to pray, if you came up with any? Right. I guess where my part of this lesson came from is I was in Samuel. I think first and second, maybe. I can't remember. And I kept on writing down when he went to the Lord. And I was like, man, I need to look a little bit more in depth about that. But yes, he went to the Lord often. Go ahead.
I was going to say Daniel.
There's an example in later into there about Daniel, for sure, in this lesson. But yeah, all the time. I had 1 Thessalonians 5:17, without ceasing. That's where, how. I mean, it's not some of these overlap each other. It's the where, the how, the when can absolutely go into the same categories. But without ceasing. So that to me, that means without ceasing, it could be anywhere. And meaning in times, anywhere in a time, in your time of day, situational. Well, thank y'all for working with me and answering and being participants.